All right, everyone. We are in the foreword, paper zero, section five, old single column, page eight. And just right, very in the foreword, right at the very beginning. No, you know, it'll be clear up the front.
Page 8.
Forward one. Yeah. Well, I mean, not in that book, but that just go to, yeah.
I don't know this
book. And the one, a couple before that. Personality Reality, Section 5. Okay, so last week, at the end of last time I mentioned we might do both these sections. They very much go together. That may not happen. I was reflecting on it some more this past week, and I think I'd like to delve a little bit more deeply into a couple things in this paper, kind of penetrate to the sort of the higher understanding levels in this section a little bit more than I was initially thinking. And that's why, I had everyone go back to this relationship between personal selfhood and deity that we talked about back when we were in the Supreme Papers. But you'll see how that comes in as we get into it here. But let's just jump in. Remember that what we're doing now, having in the first sections really begun to engage the concept of deity, the fact of deity, I should probably say, with a much higher concept attached to it than humans have previously associated with that word. Getting very specific and very very rarefied in many ways. Recognizing that deity is the primal fact in play, and so we have that as the initiating pretext of all of reality. And so now we're getting a little overview of reality, and as you can see, they're going to bring these together a little bit in this section on reality. Like we alluded last time, personality, in the previous section, we talked about this, how the relationship between personality and deified reality. So let's see where they go with it. So let's read that first section there.
Section 5, Personality Realities. Personality is a level of deified reality and ranges from the mortal and midwayer level of the higher mind activation of worship and wisdom up through the morontial and spiritual to the attainment of finality of personality status. That is the evolutionary ascent of mortal and kindred creature personality. But there are numerous other orders of universe personalities.
Let's start with that, because there's a lot of the meat of what we want to get at is being introduced in the first paragraph, just like they so often do. Okay, kind of maybe work backwards through it here. Okay, that last statement, but there are numerous other orders of universe personalities. Just take care of that first. We've alluded to this many times, and you can see the context that it's in. Prior to that, they're alluding to our ascension scheme, which we can very much begin to think of as a linear phenomenon from matter through mind to spirit, if you will. But the first two triodities that are related to giving rise to that basic finite nature of reality, with that threefold actuality, like we always talk about. I mean, that's just part of the picture. You have 20 triodities. You have the 18 other that are predominantly associated with the absonite. And so that gives all of reality a very complex nature, where you don't just have beings like us, you know, like they say, you know, mortal and kindred creature, you know, you don't just have those that are kind of just doing this straight line sort of path through the picture. You've got them coming from every which direction, directions we can't even imagine, you know, not coming or going at all, but stationary, and, you know, and everything in between. It's all very complex. And so there's a lot of different ways that personality comes into play, but we're going to just focus on, you know, using our nature to begin to understand it a little bit more. So, you know, you can see you've got, they're bringing in the concept of an ascent in mindal nature, where you're starting with mortal, you know, the mortal and midwayer level. And for those of you who don't remember the relevancy there, remember a midwayer just has, you know, a secondary midwayer just has the sixth and seventh adjutants. That's all they have. They don't have those animal, associated adjutants, the first five, because they don't really have animal origin, you know, in other words, like we do. You know, we have all seven. They have the sixth and seventh. But the whole point here is, until you go super animal, until you get to the sixth and seventh, and remember they come together, the sixth alone is unstable, you have no way for personality to engage it. And that's the point we're talking about here. So that's the starting point of personality, is when you have sixth and seventh adjutant level, i.e. human, and midwayer, mindal level. And then going up, going beyond what our initial material, and even a midwayer, you can say, has a quasi-material sort of identity, you know, up through a morontial and a spiritual identity, but there's still a mind that's associated with that identity as you move up. And there's personality engaging that mindal self all the way up the process. And another thing to remind yourself of here is, when you're starting out, your adjutant mind self right now is very much a material mind. You know, it's very definitively seated on a material structure, your brain. It is very much, especially in the lower domains, subject to material gravity literally within it. So you have to choose to live, you know, to challenge against. And so you have matter. And like you've heard me say many times, you think, you know, Morantia substance, you can kind of think of as, what would mind energy look like if it were a substance? You know, and that's basically, as you can think of Morantia as being, you know, there's two substances, matter and spirit, and an energy that associates them. But if you, you know, create an artificial substance in between the two, that's essentially mind-made substance, you know, that's Morantia. So you have a matter, mind, spirit, you know, hierarchy here that you're alluding to. Now, okay, personality. When we talking about mind, we always bring up the levels of meaning. And, you know, way back when we first introduced the levels of meaning, we did it with that little chart of them that we called selfhood to personality. In other words, animal likeness moving up through the levels of meaning, culminating in godlikeness. Animal likeness to godlikeness. And we often talk about getting up to that fully personal level as beginning to engage godlikeness. We're going to drop back from that, just like we did in sections, in section one, they introduced deity before they introduced God in section two. You know, let's drop back. Instead of talking about godlikeness, let's talk about deity likeness. And that's the point of what they're getting at. Personality is a level of deified reality. Anything that has any mindal self, high or low, like they're saying, or even, you know, way different than us, has personality, bestowed on it. The bestowal of personality, at least in potential, is deity-likeness. You know, much more fundamentally than it is God-likeness yet. It's deity-likeness. So you have this whole hierarchy you can imagine, you know, like I was just thinking about us, this whole hierarchy of our ascending personal self, selfhood, with ever higher levels of personality, in other words, ever higher levels of deity-likeness. Culminating, you know, at least in the first half of our universe careers, you know, attainment of finality of personality status, you know, you become a finaliter, you get to paradise, become a finaliter, and you've taken these levels of deity-likeness, you know, up a notch. Now you're divine, finitely divine. You know, and that's what divinity is. Divinity is very fundamentally deity-likeness. So you have all of this pre-divine personality levels of deity-likeness, you know, and then even higher, you know, divinity, divinity level of deity-likeness. And of course, you know, if there's actual deity, that's you know, really deity-likeness, you know, that you can think of as above divinity, but we don't go there. You know, we are in the same way, like I was saying, I mean, we are, we're a creature. We aren't a creator, but we do have creator likeness. We have creativity. Yeah. So that's what they're getting at. Personality is a level of deified reality. See, they're wanting you to think about this whole concept of going beyond just that initial notion that humans have, you know, coined that term a long time ago, godlikeness, deity-likeness. Begin to think about it in a little more fundamental sense. And even more specifically, we know that that personality, that spirit pattern, that individuation of will is individuated out of a particular reservoir, it's directly associated with a particular facet of deity. If you remind yourself of the total deity, you know, the infinite one is that reservoir. So, you know, when you're talking about personality specifically, you know, and directly, what kind of deity likeness is it? It's infinite one type deity likeness. So that's the specific deity likeness that you're talking about, having all these levels of expression. Yeah?
Was that the
infinite? The infinite one.
Infinite one.
First source. Yeah. Yeah. Capital I, capital O, infinite one. That's, you know, that's the reservoir of all will. You know, and so, you know, the Universal Father individuates out of that reservoir your little measure of will, your personality. And you had a question?
Yeah. You had mentioned that the meditators only have the sixth and seventh adjutant mind spirits.
Yeah.
Yet they came from the gods.
Curious progenitor.
And the daughters of men.
That's the whole point. I mean, remember what's going on is you are taking the recessive character in Adamson and Radha. Well, we're not talking about the primary midwares. We're talking about secondary midwares. You're taking that, you know, recessive character that's inherent in that first generation of the children of Adam and Eve, which Adamson is, and that's also recessive in those pure line Nadite descendants, which Radha was, you know, and those two come together, and you had those 16 curious progenitors of the secondary midwares, you know, they, you know, periodically gave rise to as a child. And so that's, you think about what's happening as you go from Adamson and Radha to those progenitors to the secondary midwares. You're stepping away and sort of, you know, taking discontinuous steps away from something that really has an animal origin foundation underneath it. Those curious progenitors are, you know, somehow kind of in the middle. And then you know, upon that little stepped up foundation, you take this jump up to secondary midwayers, and you, where you literally are anchored in the cosmos in a sense, instead of having to be seated on an animal origin foundation anymore. You know, so a hop and a jump, and then you have secondary midwayers that don't need those first five adjectives. Well, they have, you have those aspects eventuated into your foundation. I mean, you know, when you have Marantia mind, you're not going to have any of the seven adjutants separately, but you'll still have courage, you'll still have understanding, you'll still, you know, it's just that that is, it's not separated out, you know, as a distinct facet, it's blended into the, you know, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, so, all right, yeah, okay, yep.
Many months ago, we defined personality as something ability. What was that?
Because of personality, yeah, you have that. The purpose of life is a perfectibility, that, you know, more specifically, you know, that purpose of life, you know, that personality has a potential inherent in it of perfectibility. And because it's spirit pattern, you impose that pattern on spirit substance, you can actualize that potential of perfectibility as perfectingness. You can have perfecting spirit. You can have growth. You know, and whenever you want to remind yourself of that, just, you know, like there's some up there, but that little one page thing about growth, what is it and where does it come from? And on the right side, it's got that little vertical column where it lays down each of the, you know, all these levels and what potentials are in each: perfectibility, progressibility, adaptability. That's a nice little handy reference on that. Okay, so, okay, so now we're starting to see, you know, we're starting to see personality in a significantly different way than we've tended to think about it. You know, to really see it as, you know, in this whole hierarchy of deified reality, you know, that's going to come in relationship with undeified reality. And it's not deity, but it is definitely deity likeness. You know, when it's actualized, and you know, when you're first given personality, it's, you have this deity likeness potential. Okay, and okay, now back to that last little thing that I was saying. You know, thinking about how, you know, we're creatures, we're not creators, and how we've stressed that many times. How significant that is to sort of break from, you know, that's a delusion that's popular, you know, that somehow humans have some kind of creator nature. You know, man cannot cause growth, but he can supply favorable conditions. And that's the difference between being a creator and having creator likeness. Specifically, that creator likeness that you have is called personal creativity. That ability to impose a harmonizing influence on the energy system. You know, if personality is a level of deified reality and the fundamental quality of deity is unity, then it's not surprising that your personal creativity seeks unity. That's fundamentally what it does. You know, just like if you want to make, you know, say that fundamental statement about the fundamental quality of deity is unity, same thing here. You know, that fundamental aspect of personality, that personal creativity, is that it seeks unity. And let's remind ourselves of a passage that I brought up, remember a couple summers ago when I gave that talk on personal creativity and logical conformity. And I quoted this passage, and I'll actually read a little bit more of it. It's up in paper 102, section 2, paragraph 5. You know, if you want to refer back to it, it's, I'm going to, that's page 1120. But it's, I'm just going to read it, you know, a few sentences. So it's just, and it's the latter half of that paragraph. They say, the mind perspective will not yield the existential unity of the source of reality, the first source and center. But it can, and sometime will, portray to man the experiential synthesis of energy, mind, and spirit in and as the Supreme Being. Okay, so now just think about the relevance to where we are in the forward. We just read that section on the first source and center, and they were talking about the seven absolutes of infinity, as those existential starting points in your understanding. See here they're referring to the first source and center. See, and here we're talking about mind and personalized mind, mindal selves, hierarchically mindal selves, and then personalized selves all the way up. And so you're always dealing with mind and seeing what they're saying. Mind, has a limitation here in relationship to existential. Very definite limitation. It will not yield existential unity. But what does it yield? And so they reiterate what they said there relative to the Supreme Being. It says, but mind can never succeed in this unification of the diversity of reality unless such mind is firmly aware of material things, intellectual meanings, and spiritual values. Only in the harmony of the triunity of functional reality is there unity. And only in unity is there the personality satisfaction of the realization of cosmic constancy and consistency. So there is a good example of pointing out the specifics of what you're talking about when you're talking about personal creativity seeks unity. What kind of unity? Not that pure existential unity. It's the unity that's available to you as an experiential being. It's a harmony of the threefold actuality. It's a threefold harmony with unity accomplished via personality. That's the unity we're talking about, that fundamental quality of deity, how it's realized experientially is through that harmonization. That personality is that harmonizing influence of material things, intellectual meanings, and spiritual values, things, meanings, and values. And of course, we already were just alluding to how they were bringing up matter, mind, and spirit. That's the expansion of that first little paragraph. To see that's the kind of depth that they're allowing you to open that first paragraph up into. And if you do, there's a lot more accessible to you going forward in the section. If you kind of get that much bigger picture going with that first paragraph. Okay, let's try the second paragraph here.
Reality is subject to universal expansion, personality to infinite diversification, and both are capable of well-nigh unlimited deity coordination and eternal stabilization. While the metamorphic range of non-personality reality is definitely limited, we know of no limitations to the progressive evolution of personality realities.
Okay, so think about a way to sort of pithily express that first contrast. Reality is subject to universal expansion, personality to infinite diversification. You have this ever progressing extending of reality. It's subject to universal expansion. So you have extent there in play. There's obviously intent. So you're expanding the extent, but you're also diversifying the intent. That purposiveness that you were bringing up relative to personality. The Father is individuating will out of this reservoir. And He is doling out unique measures of this purposiveness, of this intent. you know, and here's a unique one, and here's a unique one, and it just goes on and on. You just keep adding more and more in this infinite diversification. See, then that last statement, while the metamorphic range of non-personal reality is definitely limited, the actual patterns that are expressed, like say, you think about atoms in the master universe. Okay, it doesn't matter where you go in the master universe, in any of the seven super universes, even going out into the outer space levels, I mean, you just have 100 atoms. That's all you have. So like they're saying there, it's definitely limited. But how many of those atoms can you have? Well, you keep things going until you have the cosmos infinite. You've got an infinite number, you know, of material things, but it's done with a very limited set of sort of purposed pieces, types of purposed pieces. However, we know of no limitation to the progressive evolution of personality realities. Even though you have just a small set of unique material or non-personal patterns, you have this endless proliferation of absolutely unique, will patterns, personality patterns. Everyone is unique, and they go on until there's an infinite number of beings. Everyone with an absolutely unique pattern. He says that's what they're contrasting there, and it's always able to be coordinated by deity and eternally stabilized. If for no other reason, just the in a very literal reality sense, the eternal isle can potentially eternally stabilize an infinite number of things, be they personal or non-personal things. Okay, so that's the contrast they're getting at, extent and intent, in that. Okay.
On attained experiential levels, all personality orders or values are associable and even co-creational. Even God and man can coexist in a unified personality, as is so exquisitely demonstrated in the present status of Christ Michael, Son of Man and Son of God.
So that's pretty obvious. He's still just as much Jesus now as he was 2,000 years ago. That immortal self of Jesus, that soul of Jesus, fused with the self of Michael, and he is still Son of Man with one unified personality. The key, just to stress again, see, invoking co-creational, obviously, beyond Michael, when they talk about you being co-creational, it's in the sense that we were just talking about in that first paragraph. You're not a creator, but you do have creator likeness. You have personal creativity. You have the ability to choose to impose harmony on all of this complex energy system that personality is identified with. In particular, you start out, you have your mortal adjutant mind self. In comes the adjuster. The adjuster has a self. Together, you give rise to the soul. That soul is a self. All three of those selves are separately minded. That personality is attempting to bring those three selves into harmony. So it kind of picks up then on that here in the next paragraph.
All sub-infinite orders and phases of personality are associative attainables and are potentially co-creational. The pre-personal, the personal, and the super-personal are all linked together by mutual potential of coordinate attainment, progressive achievement, and co-creational capacity. But never does the impersonal directly transmute to the personal. Personality is never spontaneous. It is the gift of the Paradise Father. Personality is superimposed upon energy, and it is associated only with living energy systems. Identity can be associated with non-living energy patterns.
Okay, so like we were just saying up front, you know, we're reminding ourselves what kind of deity likeness is personality. You know, it's the facet of deity that's called the infinite one or the first source. You know, it's a measure of that. It has that kind of deity likeness. You know, what's a label for that facet of deity? That's self-willed deity. You know, so you have by giving you a personality, you have a measure of self-willed deity likeness. Notice what they're bringing in here. Okay, you know, we've talked about how, okay, personality is spirit pattern, but there's two substances. So there's two fundamental patterns that are imposed upon those two substances. Spirit pattern, personality is imposed on spirit substance. Energy pattern, you know, like they're pointing out here, is imposed on material substance. Okay, and if, you know, like the Isle of Paradise, you've got an actualization of matter, very high matter, but matter nonetheless. And then that is purposed, that is patterned. So, you know, so it's not just an actuality, it's a reality. And you can say it's an identity. You know, it's not a personality, but it's an identity. It has purposing engaged to it. It's patterned as an identity. Now you have an identity too. Now right now, you know, it's corporeal. You've got this very material identity. It's like, well, wait a minute, but I wasn't given energy pattern, I was given spirit pattern. So how do I have an identity? How did that purposing get to, you know, manage to engage this? How did that happen? Notice the key in there. And it is associated only with living energy systems. Living. Okay, so think about what's happening. You have a spirit pattern that somehow is managing to identify with matter. So in other words, you've got something going on that is bridging that gap. How does that gap get bridged? Well, if you're going to bridge that gap, wherever this something comes from that's going to bridge that gap is going to have to be antecedent to both the infinite one and the infinite spirit, the two reservoirs of pattern. It's going to have to be antecedent to that, you know, and any distinction between spirit pattern, energy pattern, it's going to have to be antecedent to that. It's going to have to be antecedent to the eternal sun and the eternal isle. It's going to have to be antecedent to any, you know, even the absoluteness of spirit and matter, you know, that distinction. We got to back up before we have this energy, spirit, you know, pattern or actuality, you know, any sort of differential. Well, what is back antecedent to that? The infinite is antecedent to the infinite one and the infinite spirit and the eternal sun and the eternal isle. Remember when we're going through this personal selfhood and deity, that's where we finally had a real good context to bring that out. That one long-standing unanswered question, all these different aspects that go into making you, one of the very mysterious parts of you is this life animation that's added to the matter, the dead matter. That life animation, where does it come from? What reservoir was it ladled out of? You know, and we recognize that, you know, the reservoir has to have the word infinite in it. You know, there is the infinite. Okay. So you have this whole matter, with life animation added to it, mind, spirit, personality engages that on the top. You know, spirit pattern can engage directly right there, and spirit dominates mind. And through that life animation, that mind, all the way down to mechanical mind, can engage the matter. And you can get that purposing to penetrate all the way down to the matter and have a material identity, in spite of the fact that you have a spirit pattern imposed. Okay? That's the key. You know, the infinite is the key. It's prior to that differentiation between the difference between energy and spirit. So it can bridge that gap. Okay, so that's, you know, what they're wanting you. And once you have this bigger picture put together, you can see what they're alluding to there in that paragraph. So that's the minor thing that's happening in that paragraph. The huge thing is the first half of that paragraph. And you all remember what we said, you know, what I said during the meditation at the, you know, before we started class. This distinction is vital. You know, so I had that fresh in your mind. So when you're reading and you're going, the pre-personal, the personal, and the super-personal are all linked together. This distinction is vital, for in a cosmic system, the individual members are not connected with each other. They're not linked together except in relation to whole and through the individuality of the whole. As soon as you reach that link together, you go, ooh, is there something about the mother here? The individuality of the whole. And immediately following that, it says linked together by mutual potential of coordinate attainment, progressive achievement, and co-creational capacity. Three things. Remember how, you know, all that time we spent going through the Supreme Papers, you know, developing a better sense of the nature of God the Mother, or the nature of the type of deity called the Mother. And we recognized there were sort of three fundamental aspects to, or attributes of that type of deity called the Mother. It's focalizer, it's upholder, and it's womb. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Is there a correlation? Okay. Yes, there is, of course. And they're trying to take it to the next notch here. It's in the context of personality reality and coming from the Father. There's not just three words there. There's three pairs of words. Okay. Now, with the mother, that focalizer, I mean, I'm purposely saying them in this order because that's the order they've got them in. Focalizer, upholder, womb. The mother has those three attributes because the mother type deity comes into existence through the functioning of the Trinity in relationship to the infinite potential, the infinite upholder, and the infinite capacity in that order. Infinite potential, infinite upholder, infinite capacity. Okay, co-creational capacity. Okay. So you know you know, when you see capacity, that's a key. That's a keyword that should get you going. And it all started with a keyword, coordinate. We know that's a mother word. Coordinate's a mother word. Okay. You know this is. You know, this is about the mother. All you have to do is just logically put the pieces together. What they're doing here, you know, if you've developed your relationship to the revelation to the point that we have, they started with that little allusion in the first sentence in this section to a particular type of deity likeness. You know, deity likeness that's like the infinite one type deity. You know, the whole point of, you know, of going through this, you know, when we unraveled paper 118, section 7, paragraph 6, you know, in this personal selfhood and deity, we were recognizing that personal selfhood has a whole bunch of parallels to deity. All those different deity facets, those different self, you know, like if you look in that second paragraph, you know, the self-ability facets of deity, the self-type-labeled deity facets, like self-willed deity, all those different facets of deity, you have acquired a certain type of deity likeness parallel to each one of those. It's not just the personality, you know, like you look at that list, there's There's eight of them there. Personality is just one of those eight. You have that. You have self-will deity likeness. You have your personality, but you've got all these other aspects of deity likeness as well. And they're, we just alluded to, one of the key to making this all happen for you, it was the infinite. They're that self-existent deity. So we know that's in play too. You have both personality and life animation in play so that you can talk about it. So now you've got six more, and you've got six words. Okay? They're parallel. When you're talking about coordinate attainment, like I said, fundamentally coordinate, that's a mother word. So it's got to be one of the three. It's got to be either the infinite potential, the infinite upholder, or the infinite capacity. It's the infinite potential, that self-purposive deity. That's where the focalizer part comes from, the coordinate actor part comes from. And then we'll talk about this as we get into the rest of the section. That attainment part, that's the facet of deity that's called the Universal Father. Again, not the individuality name, the Universal Father, but the facet of deity name, the Universal Father. See, what you've got going on there, you have two attributes. You have self-determination and self-identification. Those are deity likenesses, two different types of deity likenesses from two different facets of deity. And they're in that order here. Coordinate attainment is self-determination, self-identification. And like I said, we'll understand the self-identification attached to the attainment as we go forward. Progressive achievement. Okay, well, progressive, yeah, that sounds like evolution. You notice one of them has evolution in there. You've got clues. And the whole bit about, we've talked about this, you can have the notion of being a progressive in some way. I'm going to do something that's progressive, or so I think. What do we know? We know that that is not going to be achieved unless it's upheld by the mother. Progress is only achieved if it's upheld by the mother. So you know where the achievement's attached to. That's the infinite upholder. So the pair there is you have self-evolution, self-adaptation. Those two attributes, those two types of deity likeness are your progressive achievement. See, so in the first one you had the infinite potential and the universal father. Now you've got the universal controller and the infinite upholder. In other words, okay, so each of them, one of them is an infinite word and one of them is a universal word. One of them is a mother and one's a father. The first one had the universal father, the second one has the universal controller. You probably already are suspecting what might be next. If I'm going universal father and universal controller, I've got another universal here. I've got these three universal ones. That other one's probably universal creator. Oh, well, yeah, what's the word? Co-creational? Okay, pretty easy. Okay. That one, you've got the universal creator and then the infinite capacity, and there's the word capacity again. So you've got enough words that are sort of immediate that you should be able to be suspect that there's something going on here. See, so that's what they're actually trying to bring out in this very subtle way. Only if you've put together that paragraph up there in paper 118, you can be thinking about this. So it's like, well, wait a minute. I know that personal selfhood, I know that a personalized self like I have has a whole bunch of different deity likenesses. And see, they're showing you how the Father engages you with a certain types of deity likeness. And then those come into direct relationship with the mother. And then we've talked about this. This whole bit of being connected with each other through the individuality of the whole. Only persons are connected through the individuality of the whole. And what they're pointing out, it's even a little bit more than that. You don't just need self-willed deity likeness. You need the other three father ones too, the universal father, universal creator, universal controller, those three types of deity likeness. So those four together can then engage the mother. And through the individuality of the whole, things can be connected. You know, like they're saying, they're linked together. So even when you're talking about not just between two persons, but between the pre-personal and the personal, like if you're going to link your personalized mortal self to the adjuster, personal to pre-personal, it's got to be through the individuality of the whole. And this is the details of how that's happening. How the mother has this threefold character that matches up with the threefold character that the father has given to you, so that you can potentially, you know, he gives you the potential to plug into her. You got to have a three-pronged plug, okay, because she's got a three-hold socket, okay? So if you're going to plug in, he potentializes you. He gives you the right kind of connector, you know, but then you have to choose to act, you know, begin to actualize that initiation by the father. And then you can plug in and connect together. If you choose to use that personality to create a cosmic harmony in your mind, that can be connected through the cosmic overcontroller, through the mother, and things like you and your adjuster can be linked together. Okay, so as I was reflecting on this, like, you know, we ought to really just take this opportunity to do this. You know, so that we can see a little bit more about just how, you know, how far beyond historical, evolutionary concepts of, you know, human nature we're going here. You know, we've got all of these different facets of deity, and they're all in play. Just to get you started, just to get a soul started, you got to have all of this in play, not just the father. Because there's no way to connect you to the adjuster except in this full threefold way. Okay? And so it takes all eight components. And then, of course, like I mentioned in that paragraph after that list of eight, you know, and there's that ninth, the self-contained deity, the universal one of infinity, is, of course, the root of the father and the mother. It's the root of, on the one hand, the bestowal of personality, and on the other hand, the bestowal of life animation. So that ninth self hyphen, you know, self ability facet of deity, you know, all nine are in play, and allow you to have to have the fact of deity likeness and the specific characteristics of that deity likeness. It takes all of that to get you what you need. Yep.
Just the diversification, and it's all perpetuated.
Right.
It looks like there's no end.
Right.
And yet there is an end.
Well, but of course, you know, what you just, you know, convinced yourself of is the obvious. The finite can't be the end. I mean, obviously, by definition, the finite has an end.
That's what I'm saying.
But
there's a
dichotomy. But obviously, the bigger picture can't have an end.
No.
But now back it up and challenge yourself to really come to terms with the word finite.
Yeah.
You know, that's how limited finite is. You just, you know, going, wait a minute, that's way too constrained. I can easily understand myself. I can project myself beyond that. Yeah, that's how limited the finite is relative to what you've been connected to. You've been connected to deity. you have this vast, once you begin to really recognize and realize it in your mind, you have a vast connection to that which infinitely transcends the finite. And so immediately it's like, well, wow, the finite's starting to feel a lot smaller than I ever thought of as being. Seven super universes that are so big that I couldn't even begin to travel there, you know, in an endless number of lifetimes, is starting to feel a lot smaller than I initially thought. I mean, I'm going to need a lot more than a million light years or something. I'm going to need something really big here. I'm going to need billions of light years. I'm going to need some space to be able to realize what I can already visualize in my mind because of this connection to deity. And so, you know, it's when you start, when that really starts to sink in, just how finite is. Yeah, there's just seven super universes. That's it. And that's a complete domain to actualize every possible finite thing, meaning, and value. Just seven little galaxies, seven super universes. That's all it is. You know, which, you know, you just take it up one notch, you know, you draw a map with, you know, where the first outer space level is a circle, and you can't even see the grand universe. It's just a little spot at the center. It's so tiny in relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
Looking pretty finite.
All right. And all three outer space levels, you know, are a point when you draw the fourth outer space level. I mean, so, all right, it's, you know, the finite is really finite. It really, really is. Yeah, it's a lot of real estate. But you know, there will be a time when you will have a self. You know, this always personalized self that's ever expanding. There will come a time when you have a self that spans the grand universe. I mean, think about it. You as a fine outer, you can go all over the grand universe. You already have a self that can access the whole grand universe. You've got a measure of relationship to that whole grand universe already. Your self is that big already. Now, it's not that big in supremacy, but infinity, it's that big already.
So.
Right. Yeah, and see that? So, yeah, that this is a really important step, you know, in kind of getting this all in proper relativity in your mind, you know, that to recognize that if you're really going to understand some of the thoughts that you have in your inner life, it requires much more than the finite to fit those thoughts into, much, much more, and therefore turn it around. How much tension as a personal self are you going to feel, not only in the finite, but down in the tiniest little measure of the finite that there can be? You know, you start out in the smallest measure of the finite that personality can fit into, crammed into, okay? I mean, the claustrophobia of the space that you're stuffed into initially. Infinity, you know, crammed in this tiny little thimble space of this tiny little mindful self. That's why you feel so much spiritual tension. You know, you have wings that are meant to span infinity, you know, in eternity. And they're all crushed down into this little space to start with. And so you feel all this tension. I want all these ideals to be actualized now. I want them now. I want them now. They're so magnificent. And they don't fit in that thimble. Okay? So the first thing you have to discover, having been given this gift of insight into the big picture, is patience. Patience is the key to somehow allowing the finite and the infinite to coexist. You know, it's the neck of the hourglass. You know, patience, that level of patience is what links that which opens to infinity from this tiny little thimble space down here on the bottom. You got to have patience to start with.
There's no meaning to the concept of being sentient. I'm the son of God.
Yeah. You know, I came to be a son of God because nine different facets of deity were downstepped into me. All the way around the infinite eternal ellipse was downstepped into me. The infinite eternal ellipse in a thimble. Okay, so there you have it. See, just, you know, be looking. That's the kind of things that you now can look for. You know, you see linked together, you think mother, and you're going, well, I know there's three fundamental attributes of mother, and sure enough, I see three things, and I see keywords like coordinate and capacity. You can pick that up. They're very good at not completely hiding this from your view. It's hidden from the novice's view, but the moment you've got a couple of the keys in mind, it's just right there screaming at you to just fill in the blank. All right, let's go to the next paragraph.
The Universal Father is the secret of the reality of personality, the bestowal of personality, and the destiny of personality. The Eternal Son is the absolute personality, the secret of spiritual energy, Morantia spirits, and perfected spirits. The conjoint actor is the spirit-mind personality, the source of intelligence, reason, and the universal mind. But the Isle of Paradise is non-personal and extra-spiritual, being the essence of the universal body, the source and center of physical matter, and the absolute master pattern of universal material reality.
Okay, now a lot of that, you know, I think anyone who's read, you know, anytime is can get a handle on most of what's there. You know, just pick up on a little of the details. You know, when they're talking about the secret of the reality of personality, the bestowal of personality, and the destiny of personality. The secret, i.e., you know, you've got all of those facts, you know, and immediately not seen, you know, there is that individual that's behind that, specifically behind setting up the Father's personality circuit, the personality circuit of the Universal Father. That's what you're talking about there, the reality of personality. That there's this personality circuit that you're encircuited into. You're connected in an absolute individual fashion to this Father. There's a personality circuit between you and the Father, between me and the Father, between Chris and the Father, but it's John's link, and I'm not in that circuit. There's your link, and John and I are not in that circuit. You know, each of you, each person sees a unique face of the Father. So you're encircuited. You have this initiation by the Father. You know, He's a source of a flow, and gives you a unique link into that flow, and he potentializes you. But you have two of these, realized persons. But how do you connect the two together? And that's through the individuality of the whole, through the mother, because the mother doesn't have an individual relationship with you like the father does. The mother, you know, has a collective relationship with all personalities simultaneously. She's connected to every personality simultaneously, mutually. Okay. Right. So it's that. Yeah. So you can think about, you know, you have a dynamic character, and those two dynamic characters can come into relationship with each other through the mother, and there can be a super additive consequence of those two. A new motion can come into existence because those two motions have been related. So that's what's, you know, a new individuation is spawned by those two being brought into relationship. And it's the Father's personality circuit and the Son's spirit circuit. You know, again, you know, the secret of spiritual energy. There's this spiritual energy, you know, abroad in the universe. Is that just innate? You know, like Lucifer said in the first principle of the Lucifer Manifesto, all that energy stuff, that's just automatically out there. There's no secret behind that. There's no someone behind that that brought that. It's just there. No, no. There is that which is behind all those. All those very literal energy expressions of reality have a secret behind them. There's an individual behind them. You know, they are circuits. They're not just blobs of energy. Yeah. And so that's what they're getting at there. And, you know, and it doesn't matter, if you're talking about now and your initial relationship with spirit energy, or going all the way up through Marantia, you know, all the way up to perfected, you know, up to a finality. You know, again, they're saying the whole way, the secret of that, you know, if you being able to have a relationship with spirit is the eternal Son. You know, and we all basically know that. That's the absolute of unity, of spirit, is the eternal Son. So you can see, you know, they're just building up this. And just to challenge you here, you know, that last statement, the absolute master pattern of the universe, of universal material energy. Okay, so if the Isle of Paradise is the absolute master pattern of universal material energy, what is the absolute master pattern of universal spiritual reality? The eternal Son. You know, like they just said, he's the absolute personality. You know, that was that first thing that they said there. The eternal Son is the absolute personality. It's, you know, in other words, he's the absolute master pattern of universal spiritual reality. Yeah. So that's another thing that you want to challenge yourself to do when they, you know, be able to work, you know, use the same language on both sides of the parallel, the energy side and the spirit side. You can always duplicate the language and just change the word energy to spirit, or you know, or material to spiritual. You know, because it's a absolute parallelism that exists in reality. That's why you've got the first two triunities are a pair, second two triunities are a pair, third two triunities are a pair. I mean, because you have this fundamental parallelism, and so you make some statement about one of them and you can just change the word and you've got the statement about the other one. You know, the eternal Son and the eternal Isle are always in parallel like this. Okay. It's just two different types of pattern imposed. When you reach back there into that quiver, back into that reservoir of all pattern, you know, the infinite one, if the universal Father reaches back, individuates and doles out, we call that spirit pattern, call that personality. If the universal controller reaches back and grabs it and it bestows pattern, we call that energy pattern, or just pattern. You're getting it out of the same reservoir, but depending on which face of the Father is bestowing it, it's either spirit pattern or energy pattern, whether it's the universal Father or the universal controller. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's, I should just read that little preface to number one there.
These qualities of universal reality are manifest in Urantian human experience on the following levels.
Okay. These qualities, what qualities? We had personality, spirit, mind, and matter. We're talking about the four absolutes there of those four aspects. In that order, personality, spirit, mind, matter. So these qualities.
You're talking about the personality, the spirit, the mind, and the matter. Body, mind, spirit.
No, we're not there yet. You know, just backing. Yeah.
But no, you're missing soul.
Yeah, see, none of that. Okay. Take it one step at a time. You know, okay. they say something and then they say these. When you use that word these, it's referring to what was just said. You know, these things, there were four things: a universal Father with personality, the eternal Son with spirit, the conjoint actor with mind, and the Isle of Paradise with matter. Okay? And those four things. So you have those four things in mind: matter, mind, spirit, personality. And, you know, we talk about those four levels of our nature all the time. We've been doing that for years now. You know, matter, mind, spirit, and personality. Variability, adaptability, progressibility, perfectibility. Again, you know, those different levels of our nature. So that's what you're expecting. And then just like you were saying, okay, well, what follows though? So they say it's, you know, they're manifest on these levels, these following levels. And just notice that wording, how rich that wording is, because we just talked about how these nine facets of deity are manifest in you. And now they're taking kind of the threefold reality and personality, this, you know, and how they're manifest in you. They're giving you the whole picture. See, of how you come to be what you are in relationship to deity and in relationship to the absoluteness of reality, which is the these, you know, what they just, you know, introduced, the absoluteness of this threefold actuality with unity. Okay, so what do you have? Number one there.
Number one, the body. The material or physical organism of man, the living electrochemical mechanism of animal nature and origin.
Okay, well, that's pretty obvious. We're talking about matter, but, you know, we know, so yeah, we can't forget we've got, there's matter and then there's living matter. We, you know, we've got the infinite is, and life animation is coming into play there. But so your body is not just a glob of molecules. It's not just a material thing. It's a living thing. It's living matter. But nonetheless, there's no mind, no spirit or anything. You've got just the body, and that's obviously really tied to the matter up there in the Isle of Paradise that they just introduced. Yep.
Can we say here, I somehow have this in my mind, that midwares are electro only, and we are electrochemical?
When you go up, you know, think about yourself. You've got the matter, you've got the life animation, and then what's superimposed upon that? The mechanical mind. And that mechanical mind is you know, that which sort of is immediately transcendent of what we kind of understand, you know, through physics, the study of physics of this matter, the couch and my arm and everything, those molecules. You know, it's a very material-like energy. You know, and if midwayers are sort of just, like you're saying, kind of going up just a notch so that they're not so, you know, sort of crudely molecular material, but an exalted material. See, there's a relationship there. It's more like their body is a lot more akin to the kind of energy that mechanical mind is. Or the kind of additional living energy that's in an Adam and Eve that's related to that additional circulatory system. You see, that's sort of near material-like energy. You know, see, they're close to you, you know, in nature, remember. They're sort of just immediately transcendent of you in nature. So all those kind of things are related. And that mechanical mind-like energy has a lot of relationship to what we call electromagnetic energy. See, so you are on the right track. You see, more electromagnetic than electrochemical. You know, all you're doing when you spread out mind into all of these individual facets, mechanical mind, seven and seven adjutants, you know, is just you've gone from something that's just immediately transcendent of matter and very matter energy like to something that's just immediately below spirit energy, the Holy Spirit, you know, the seventh adjutant, and quite spirit like, you know, and everything in between. You know, so you're just going, the energy is moving up and becoming less and less what you'd call individuality like and more what you call unity like in nature. And hence, farther and farther, as you move up farther and farther removed from something that you're going to measure with some sort of electronic level energy measuring device like we know about. Okay, so body.
Mind.
Mind.
Number two, mind. the thinking, perceiving, and feeling mechanism of the human organism, the total conscious and unconscious experience, the intelligence associated with the emotional life reaching upward through worship and wisdom to the spirit level.
Okay, that's all pretty straightforward. And you know, you're noticing things like emotional life and feeling, and you know, and you're remembering the levels of meaning, and you're going, okay, yeah, I've got the first three adjutants make the first level of meaning, second three adjutants make the second level of meaning, level of feelings, level of flesh, level of mind. You know, so there those first three are close to the body, and so that level of mind is called, that level of meaning is called the level of the flesh. You go up a notch, that's the level of feelings. And, you know, if you just talk in general about that mindedness, you'll say mental, you know, you use the word mental. But remember we talked about, if you want to kind of stress more the upper regions of that, you'll say intellectual. And so you've learned all these things. And so you're looking for those, oh, the intelligence, not just the, you know, the mentality, the intelligence associated with the emotional life. Okay, so I'm thinking, I'm moving up into the second level of meaning, and as an animal, I have just two adjutants there, but I go to a human, and I've got the sixth, you know, as, you know, immediately transcendent of that animal, filling out that level of meaning, and then going up to the third level of meaning with the seventh adjutant, you know, so up, reaching upward through worship and wisdom to the spirit level, you know, engaging the Holy Spirit. So, just, I mean, all I did is just said what was there, but you know, put it in that, you know, that full context. You know how to think about that in, you know, in this more precise way, because you've got the levels of meaning and everything that you can think in.
Mm-hmm. It's so confused, and even among Rancho book readers,
right. They
will think that the thinking, perceiving, and feeling is the brain.
Right.
How would you discern the two?
Right. And that's your first challenge. Remember, to recognize it as revelation, to read thinking, perceiving, and feeling mechanism and think brain, that's new wine and old wineskins. You know, we're all born into old wineskins. Those old wineskins, the notions that are afoot in the world right now, is that there's only one mechanism to you. There's only one energy phenomenon to you. It's material. So if I see the word mechanism, that must be talking about, you know, corporeal stuff. But I'm talking about thinking. Okay, I must be talking about the brain and not my arm. Okay? No. Mind is a literal energy system, just as literal an energy system as material energy. Okay? And, you know, it's a construct. There's a construct of mindal energy associated with that material energy, that body. That construct of mindal energy is a mechanism. Just like a construct of material energy is a mechanism, a construct of mindal energy can be a mechanism. You have a mindal mechanism. And we're starting to understand some of the aspects of this mechanism. It's not just some singular thought in our head. You know, we have seven facets involved, or seven parts to this mechanism, and those seven parts are not all just random and disconnected. They come together into groups. You know, the first three form a group and work together as a super part. The three parts make a super part, and 4, 5, and 6, those three parts make a super part. Okay, and the seventh kind of does work by itself. But because you've got those sort of three super parts, you've got three levels of meaning. See, when we're talking about the levels of meaning, we're talking about the nature of the mechanism, the mindal mechanism. That's the way it is.
Okay, so part two of my question is, what is showing up on the brain scan when the certain areas of the brain are lighting up?
Right.
Is that mind showing up?
No. You can't, like I was just saying, the only mindal energy that you have any hope of quasi-directly measuring is mechanical mind. The adjutants, you're not going to register with some sort of electronic level measuring device. Okay, So what's happened? When they hook up some sort of fancy gizmo, to your skull, and take some picture of you where they're measuring the electronic level energy, what are they doing there? And we know that it changes. What they measure changes depending upon the thinking that's going on, or whatever is going on in the mind. The brain, the mindal energy system, this mechanism is seated on the brain. The thinking is actually going on, or the changes in form in the mindal energy system are going on in that mindal energy system, but there's a shadow cast onto the brain that it's seated on. When you're, all these various electrode, or whatnot, measuring devices that we hook up to the brain or the skull are measuring the shadows. When they say this part of the brain is related to language, this part is related to sight. No, that's all in the mind, but there's a shadow cast. That part of the mind is seated on that part of the brain. Language doesn't originate in the brain, it originates in the mind. Actually, it doesn't even really originate in mind, it originates in the cosmos, and is downstepped into our agitated mind and then seated on the brain. You have sight mindily, but there's a seat for that sightedness, in your brain, etc. So that's, you're measuring the shadows. So again, think about how this fits into what we've talked about so much about how human thinking is a flatlander thinking. Okay, I'm a three-dimensional being. I walk out on a sunny day and I cast a shadow on the sidewalk, and that shadow is two-dimensional. Okay, you're getting a projection of what's going on. You're just measuring this two-dimensional like shadow when you're measuring the electrochemical mechanism, when you're measuring the brain. So, just think about how much is lost. There's some sort of three-dimensional character in the mind, and that's all getting flattened down onto this projection in the brain, and that's what you're measuring. And then you're trying to understand what's going on, where head and belly button and toe are all at the same place. It's the same, it's very confusing. How does that work?
You're really only measuring the mechanical mind, the shadow of the mechanical mind.
Yeah, you're measuring the mechanical mind's engagement to the brain. But, if it's the sixth adjutant, the sixth adjutant connects to the fifth, to the fourth, to the third, to the second, to the first, to the mechanical mind, to the brain, So it comes all the way down. Like, when we hook up an EKG, EEG, not an EKJ, but an EEG, okay, and you measure all these, waves. Okay, what do we have revealed to us for the first time? Those waves, that oscillating motion is in the agitant mind. That's revealed to us in the book, in that one paragraph. So you've got these oscillations in the agitant mind, and those are casting a shadow onto the brain, and then you're measuring that with an electromagnetic measuring device. You're measuring the shadow of those oscillations. There's actually two sets of oscillations. One you measure with an EEG, and one you measure with an EKG. You have two seats. The agitant mind is really seated here. The mechanical mind is actually seated here. That rhythmic pulsation, that's timing your heart and hence your whole body in sync with that heart, that oscillation is in the mechanical mind. The mechanical mind is the conductor of the basic mechanical level of the body, which is all synced to the heartbeat, that's pulsing through the whole body. That's the mechanical mind that has that oscillation, not the heart, not the cells, the mechanical mind has that. That energy system has that oscillation in it, and that's being imposed upon the body.
This is awesome.
Well, you just think about what I just said. See, you're changing the linkage to the mechanical mind
with a heart transplant.
And which is going to change the linkage to the lower levels of your agitant mind. And it's sad to record that so few persons on your rancha are really functioning up in a more personal domain. Most people, right, most people are just functioning down there in the lower, very subjective, material-like domains of agitant mind. And so literally we think that their personality changes when we change their heart. No, you just change the first level of meaning a little bit. You change the level of the flesh. Okay, personality engages the spirit level and the sixth level. You are so far from what personality. You've changed the temperament of the first level of meaning a little bit. And see, and humans call that personality. That's how different. That's what I'm trying to, you know, personality is related to this. Okay? It's a far cry from this. Okay? A heart is a lot more like this. The arm of this chair. Okay? Right, so that's the kind of thing that we're getting at. See, and you don't want, you know, you can, I mean, yeah, there's some really profound things happening there in that temperament change or the heart transplant, but don't exalt it, you know, beyond what it is. I mean, it's giving you a lot of, you know, direct evidence of the fact that there's mind and matter. Okay, but high mind and spirit and personality, okay, that's way, 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 way above that.
Okay. When they're measuring someone when they're meditating, mm-hmm. you see that big area that they're calling spirituality. Is that the seventh adjutant or the sixth? Or the shadow?
I mean, this is, you know, what I just gave is revelatory information about how to start with better initial assumptions and thinking about, you know, everything that's going on in, you know, in the more advanced domains of medicine and in psychology and psychiatry. You know, it's actually a actual set of assumptions. You know, some of those fields don't even really have any initial assumptions. It's sort of anything goes. You're trying to actually, you know, have something literal and concrete that you can't know unless it's revealed to you. It's been revealed to you now. And so now you can go into those fields and utterly transform them. You can re-understand everything. In other words, you can actually get a true understanding because you're going to have initial assumptions that are predicated on reality. Instead of just, you know, it's like, well, I don't know, the shadow kind of makes me feel like this. And so I mean, that's where we are. We have some vague, shadowy thing, and we kind of make that sort of an initial assumption, and then we run with it.
It's a big black hole.
You know, and we, right. See,
sticking your hand in water trying to grab it.
Right.
More distortion.
Right. Lots and lots and lots of distortion. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, see, this is, you know, this is what we're trying to get at. To get to the revelation, to get to go, it's like, whoa, that changes everything I've ever thought about. Yeah, now you're actually experiencing the revelation. No more is new wine being poured into old wineskins. You know? You found the revelation if you change everything in a given field of study. Now you've found the revelation. You know? If you change every attempt that you've ever made to understand things before. Yeah, maybe not the couple little threads of truth that you know, those will stay. Yeah. But the whole artifice you've built around it, all things are going to become new. It's going to totally change. And you're going to actually have like, whoa, now I can actually think in this area. Now it's not a bunch of woo-woo. Now I can actually think about it logically. I can make analogies. I can get pictures in my head, and I can understand that this is connected to that. And, oh, well, that's easy. Now I understand how it's working. I mean, most of psychology is really pretty trivial. Once you have some actual facts in play, you can understand most of what's going on really easily. Okay. Spirit.
Three, spirit. The divine spirit that indwells the mind of man, the thought adjuster. This immortal spirit is pre-personal, not a personality, though destined to become a part of the personality of the surviving mortal creature.
Okay. So we got matter, mind, spirit. We do know, you know, we notice as we read that, it's all pretty straightforward, but we notice they're just talking about the thought adjuster. You know, they didn't mention the Holy Spirit. Okay, what exactly, you know, are they kind of suggesting here? What are they getting at? Keep that in mind, and let's read the fourth one there.
Soul. The soul of man is an experiential acquirement. As a mortal creature chooses to do the will of the Father in heaven, so the indwelling spirit becomes the father of a new reality in human experience. The mortal and material mind is the mother of this same emerging reality. The substance of this new reality is neither material nor spiritual. It is morontial. This is the emerging and immortal soul which is destined to survive mortal death and begin the paradise ascension.
Okay. Okay, so they said these qualities, and we had personality, spirit, mind, matter, and now we're going in reverse order, and we're, okay, we got matter, we got mind, we got spirit. Well, wait a minute, shouldn't next be personality? Why is there soul? What the heck's going on here? Okay, now put it all together. And they gave you, there's all kinds of clues, like they invoked father and mother in that paragraph. You noticed that. Now, and think about what they said before they did this. These four bullet points. They said, these qualities of universal reality are manifest in Urantian human experience on the following levels. Okay, so in other words, if we just take it at face value, I've got the basement level, the body, mind above that, spirit above that, and they're saying soul is above that. Soul is above spirit. Well, wait a minute, I thought personality was above spirit. Okay, well, I don't understand that quite yet. Let's see, let me drop back. Okay, now what do I know about, when I talk about something being above, being super, to get something super from where I was, there has to be super additivity. To get up to soul, if that's above spirit, spirit must have been brought into relationship with something else, and there's a super additive consequence that's above that, that's soul. What is that? Well, you know, oh, it's like, oh, now that's, okay, that's why they so specifically mentioned the spirit, you know, individuation that's in me, the thought adjuster in that spirit block, that's the one thing.
The indwelling spirit.
Okay, and what do I bring into relationship with that thought adjuster? Remember we were talking about, when we were talking about the, you've got to, you know, seated on that body, you have a mindful self. And that mindful self is encircled into the Holy Spirit so that personality can be imposed upon it. So if you think about one and two all together, when all is said and done with one and two, what do you have there? You have a material minded self that's personalized, and that personality has personal creativity that seeks unity. That personal creativity is going to take that very complex system, all those adjutants and life animation and everything, that very complex system, and it's going to work on creating harmonies in it. It's going to work on creating cosmic character in it. So that mortal self, well, you know, could have a, I could choose to get some cosmic character circulating in that. And through the individuality of the whole, that can be connected to the adjuster. I can have a true relationship between a personalized self and the adjuster. Well, if I get a true relationship, there's going to be a super additive consequence to that, the soul. Okay. See, so all of that. Yeah, yes, yes, definitely. You have a literal actuality, you know, it's morantia substance. Oh, and it's like even makes more sense now. We're, you know, in the spirit block, we were talking about that spirit substance of the adjuster. Okay. And then this material mind that's seated on the substance of the body. So because you can have a personalized self, you can bring these two substances into relationship, and there is a super additive substance that comes into existence as a consequence. You know, and then we start to think about the greater complexity of it. And yeah, there's this, we have this mortal self, and we have this adjuster self, and there's a super additive consequence of a morantia self.
Isn't that the choosing to do the will of the Father?
Yeah,
in heaven,
yeah, right.
Creature chooses to do the will of the Father. So the indwelling spirit becomes becomes the father of a new reality.
And they put that in quotes. It's like, you know, you remember that old idea that you have from your evolutionary religion, that whole notion of doing the will of the Father in heaven. Okay, well, now let's think about that a little bit more literally and precisely. What does that look like literally? Okay, if you take this personality the Father gave you, which would allow you to do the will of the Father, to consecrate your will to the perfect will of God the Father, if I do that, then what? What happens? Okay, I've chosen to get myself flowing in the Father's personality circuit. Okay, so now I'm flowing. What happens when I get flowing in the Father's personality circuit? That personality starts to do. There's a thing that a personality does. It has personal creativity. It seeks unity. It starts to harmonize. It starts to take your mindal self, and make it like the cosmic harmony of God the Mother. Remember, we've talked about there's two consecrations. Consecrate the will to the perfect will of God the Father, and you're recognizing that the reason that you do that is so that you can consecrate your mind to the cosmic harmony of God the Mother. Because if you do succeed to a measure in that consecration to the Mother, then the Mother can relate that aspect of your mortal self to the adjuster, and there can be a super additive consequence to that measure, a brick of soul. Do it some more, another brick of soul. Do it some more, another brick of soul. My soul is getting bigger. My soul is being grown by the Mother. Because I've chosen to consecrate my mind to the cosmic harmony, God the Mother. But I initiated it by consecrating my will to the initiator, to God the Father, the perfect will of God the Father.
Yeah. Harmony first needs unity. It starts with unity, and out of that comes harmony.
I look to the existential unity, right. You know, at infinity and eternity. Right. But I can't just jump over everything in between, you know. Like the mind can't just go to that. You know, what it does is it grabs a hold of what it can grab a hold of, the threefold actuality, and it gives it unity likeness, harmony. Harmony is unity likeness. Right. Yeah. Harmony. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Harmony is existential unity likeness.
Right.
Yeah. Deity unity likeness. Yeah. Yeah, everything that you are is some deity likeness. And so that's what you're going to actualize and realize is more deity. That's the point they're trying to make. No matter how you think about it, that's what you've got in play. You know, deity and reality and you is this whole deity likeness phenomenon happening. You're not deity, but you're, in terms of you being real, you're nothing but deity likeness. That's what makes you real, is deity likeness. In all this, all these different ways. Okay. Well, like for instance, when you start talking about more absonite patterning, so it isn't, you don't have this very linear matter, mind, spirit. Absonite pattern is going to engage this in combined ways, cross-term ways, if you will. Yeah, the 18 triodities. Right, so that, you know, for us, we can get a good understanding going by putting it in these nice, simple, linear levels, matter, mind, spirit. Okay, and we noticed that, you know, we were expecting personality and we got soul, but there's a footnote to number 4 with an italicized word that starts at what's the next paragraph? Personality.
Yeah.
Okay, so read that paragraph.
Personality. The personality of mortal man is neither body, mind, nor spirit. Neither is it the soul. Personality is the one changeless reality in an otherwise ever-changing creature experience, and it unifies all other associated factors of individuality. The personality is the unique bestowal which the Universal Father makes upon the living, and associate on the living and associated energies of matter, mind, and spirit and which survives with the survival of the moronchal soul.
Okay, so this purposing, this pattern that's imposed upon it, what's it imposed upon? It's imposed upon basically a twofold thing, living and threefold energy. We've been stressing, you know, this complicated mechanism, total energy mechanism that you are, has matter, mind, spirit, and life animation all together, and then there's this harmonizing influence that's bestowed upon it by the Universal Father that sets to work, working on taking all of that individuality, that complex system of energy, and beginning to get it to strike step in a unified form that reflects the form of her, so that you can be connected into the whole, so that you can be plugged in. Okay, so that's the purpose of that personality, is to create this harmony that's like the cosmos, so that you can be part of the cosmos. You'd like to be part of the cosmos. You'd like to be more than just a son of God. You'd like to be a cosmic citizen. You don't want to just be an island universe in an infinite black void. I mean, yeah, you've got the Father there with you, and that's really cool, but, you know, I'd like to be plugged in, too. Yeah, right. I mean, we all know that that's basically where this started. Like, the infinite is, I mean, the I Am is all cool. It's infinite and eternal and perfect and all that, but it's singular, you know? The point is to create true relationship. To do that, the Father has to initiate the potential, and then the mother is the means by which that's realized.
If the other way was better, the I Am wouldn't have needed to do anything.
Right. Yeah.
So we're trying to go from the I Am to the we are.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, all are.
The all are, yes. All are. Okay. From the infinite I Am is where you start, and where you end is the infinite all are.
Nice rope, Aaron. That was cool, yep. Buddy. You did that on your own.
Yep.
Yeah.
exactly. Okay, so see, now do you see, you know, why that there's a subsequent paragraph that starts with an italicized word, but it doesn't have the number 5 in front of it? Okay, see, it's a footnote to 4 because you're expecting matter, mind, spirit, personality, but they're just kind of trying to throw in an additional little, you know, it's not super simple, you know, you've got this soul, but how does the soul fit into that picture? Okay, so now you see that. So again, you've got no matter how this energy system changes, I mean, literally right now, no matter how much you get it to strike step with harmony so that it's changed, the purposing is the same. The purposing doesn't change. You can, you know, go to a Morancha identity, a spirit identity, no matter how the energy changed. There's a constant, unique, harmonizing influence imposed upon it. That personality does not change. The temperament is going to change infinitely between here and eternity. That temperament that you start with because of your energy system, you know, character, you know, basically your genetics, okay? That temperament is, you know, you're hoping that you are going to grow that temperament so that it's a little less animal-like and a little bit more godlike, you know, even before you die. Okay, but no matter how much you morph it, there's a constant purposing, because the purposing is not tied to the moment, you know, or the specifics of the moment and the energy system. It sets its sights on eternity, and eternity's changeless. You've purposed this ever-changing energy system to that eternity point. That's your personality. That's why it's changeless. A harmonizing influence doesn't change, no matter how much the energy's changed, no matter how much or how little or how great a harmony is in place. It doesn't change. It's the harmonizing influence. It's not the harmony. You know, this whole... You just reminded me. I just about forgot. We got a loose end. Remember, I said we'd get to the point where we better understood why it was when we were talking about those three pairs, we had coordinate attainment. That, we tied that to the attainment to the universal Father, that facet of deity, that gives us an attribute we call self-identification. You are given that the ability to self-identify to with what? With the adjuster. Look at the paragraph that we're playing with it. And self-identification with a fusion spirit of deity is that, is that whole sentence up there, or that whole phrase up there. See, the attainment, you have this coordination, potential. You can be coordinated through the individuality of the whole. The attainment of that is when is by self-identification with the adjuster. Remember, that's your, that's your real eternal identity. I mean, that's what you're progressively shifting to. When you leave the local universe as the first stage spirit, your body is that adjuster. That's the identification point that you're progressively transferring. Initially your personality has this identification point, corporeal, then it'll have morontial, and eventually it'll have spirit, that adjuster. That's the complete attainment of being something that can be coordinated by deity. Okay, so that's how to better appreciate why that's the self-identification, and it's tied to attainment there. And that's why, again, so you can see why, and that's why they wrote this the way they did, so that you've got that that fact that there's an attainment. The extent to which you have achieved that identification with the adjuster, a brick of soul is made. Okay. So coordinate attainment, brick of soul. Another measure of coordinate attainment, another brick of soul. And that's how those are tied together. All right, and then that last little thing.
Morontia is the term designating a vast level intervening between the material and the spiritual. It may designate personal or impersonal realities, living or non-living energies. The warp of Morontia is spiritual. Its woof is physical.
Okay, we all, anyone who's read the book, knows that three sentences there very well. So let's just, pin it down again, definitively. Remember, we've got this coined word, Morontia. What's the literal meaning of that word that they're coining? We read at the beginning of the foreword, they're not allowed to coin a word. If there's any word existent in the English language that will work, even with more or less distortion of meaning, they coined one, so, they obviously they had to. They're coining an English word, so you can figure out what the literal meaning is, just like any English word. The TIA suffix, it's making a noun there. You can translate it as that which is. The word on, the word on, the literal meaning of the word on is akin to, like, akin to. And the word, the Norse word mor, in this context, you could just literally translate it as matter. That which is akin to matter. So in other words, they're saying that you've got this substance you can't just have mind bridging the gap between matter and spirit, because you can't jump from a material body to a spirit body. You've got to work through that whole range. So there needs to be a mind-like substance. And it's got to transcend up off of matter. So this substance, if it's going to sync up with what you're transitioning off of, it's got to be akin to matter. Okay? They make an artificial substance, Morontia substance, that's akin to matter. And it's very akin. There's 100 Morontia atoms, just like there's 100 material atoms, etc. Okay? So your next body is made out of Morontia substance.
But it has more spirit woven.
Right. And so what's the nature of this artificial substance, like that last bit? The warp of Marancha is spiritual, the woof is physical. Okay, the warp, the fibers that run lengthwise through the loom. What do those fibers do? They give it strength, spiritual strength. Okay, right now, with your mortal self, your mortal material-minded self, you have to constantly keep a grip on this spirit that you just have a tenuous relationship with to, you know, maintain that spiritual strength. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I could actually weave some spirit fibers into my body so that the spirit strength would be there innately, or inherently, maybe I should say. Now that's what you're doing. That you're making this Marancha brain your soul, and eventually you have a Marancha body to put that Marancha brain into, your whole body will have strength, spiritual strength. It'll have warp fibers, you know, and then your individuality likeness, the woof, you know, are the fibers that run orthogonal, you know, perpendicular to those, to the warp fibers. Okay, so you have, you know, unity likeness and strength, you know, in that way we're all the same, but we have individuality. You know, the material is the individuality likeness, this is the unity likeness. You know, when you make a rug on a loom, you know, its individuality is defined by the cross fibers of the woof. Okay? And you can have all kinds of different, you know, patterns in that rug. You know, what you're trying to do over time is to have the woof be not just kind of what is there by the default temperament of the body. You're trying to more and more make that woof reflect the uniqueness of your personality, i.e. that harmonizing, you know, to have this be harmony fibers. You know, you're trying to bring this threefold actuality together and string it through that common spiritual strength. You know, virgin adjusters are all identical. So that the core of those spirit fibers is all identical from one finaliter to another, but every finaliter has an absolute unique weave across those common fibers. Now the other thing, just one more little thing about the literal meaning of Marancha, that Norse word more, it comes forward into Danish, out of Old Norse, and is used in Danish directly, M-O-R, where it basically means humus. Oh, remember how much we've been recently talking about? What does the word human mean? The word human means up out of the humus. Okay? It's an upward arrow out of the dirt, out of the clay, okay? Out of the humus. Okay? Marancha, that was akin to matter, up out of the humus. You know, your Marancha form is a transcendent human form. Okay? That's the mastery, see, of their coining of the word. You know, look at the fullness of what they coined there. How it's like, yeah, that's exactly, you know, the word they needed to coin. It's got all of the direct literalness that it needs, and it has all of the proper illusion that it could have to not lead you astray. Yeah, so I hope that gives you a little sense of, you know, again, of what we can do now with the foreword. Okay? How many times have you read that section and you blow through it and it's like, oh yeah, that's that section that has body, mind, spirit, and Marancha personality and that warp woof thing. And that's all I remember from that section. And I speak from personal experience. I mean, for years, that's all I remembered of that section. Now, yeah, it's got that list and the warp woof thing. And what did it, which was the warp and which was the woof? And, but see, once you've got a firmer grip on it, it's like, okay, there's nothing mysterious. And which one is the warp spiritual or material? No, you know what it is, logically what it is. Spiritual strength, okay? You don't have to ever look it up again. You know it now. You know, and you now know your nature much more. I hope your nature is much more alive in relationship to total deity. Yeah. Just how relevant, you know, this is, like we've been saying, you know, this, what the heck does this have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. It's how you are the complex you that you are. All these facets of deity, each individually gives rise to an aspect of you. And it all comes together into a whole and works as a system. Okay? If you've chosen to consecrate your will to the perfect will of God the Father and consecrate your mind to the cosmic harmony of God the Mother, then you will be a reflection of that whole.
Nothing else that helps illuminate the old mystery of where does life come from?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It comes through a very complex process. Yeah. And it comes from above, not...
But from an infinite source.
Yes, it comes from an infinite source. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, our, you know, is mind just the functioning of brain? Are we just a blob of matter that evolved by random mutation processes? No, not hardly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, from some amino acid soup and lightning bolts, or, you know, magic crystals, you know, or whatever. No, yeah, this is what you are. A magnificent deity likeness, at least in potential, if you choose to go forward with the plan. And who has the plan? Who comes with the plan? The adjuster. Someone said it. Yep. Yep. Adjuster comes with the plan. Yep. All right, let's take a moment to reflect on that.